RachelCochran.com brings you Benchmark, a radio play inspired by the In Loving Memory plaques found on benches. Rachel is currently running a competition based on this radio play to help raise funds for the vital work of Willoughburn Hospice in County Durham, with the prize of a quality garden bench. Log on to RachelCochran.com and click on to Get Writing and then Current Writing Competition. It's short, easy to enter, and you don't need to be a writer to have a go.
Benchmark, a radio play by Rachel Cochran.
This flowerbed was planted in memory of Percy Proudlock, head gardener of this park, 1946 to 1975.
I left school at 14 and worked in this park man and boy, except for the war, of course. Whatever the season, I made sure that there was something different to admire. People used to come from miles for a look around my park. Taught many a young gardener. Some even went on to exhibit at the Chelsea show. Everything's contracted out now. It just doesn't look the same anymore. No pride in their work.
This pavilion is dedicated to the memory of Bernard Renshaw, captain of the Crown Green Bulls team 1989 to 1995.
Long sunny days into dusk. Evenings after working in the factory. The bowling team. They were my family.
This bench was placed here in loving memory of Alf and Isabel Sharp, treasured memories of our mum and dad who met in this park.
We do miss the grandkids growing up, don't we, Alf? I used to knit them something every Christmas and post it down, didn't I, Alf? Alf?
Aye, that's what you did, bonnie lass. I was a bit on the big side so they could grow into them. Probably still fit them even now.
That's enough now, Jack.
Oh, Mam, can't we stay, please?
No, my flaming arms are nearly dropping off. Come on, I want to sit down.
But, Mam...
I didn't start, Mam, because I'm bloody knackered.
Mam, I'm hungry.
I'll be glad to get you back to school. Then the teachers can listen to you whinging all day long.
Mam, can I have...
No, you bloody can't. You know damn well I'm waiting for my cheque. I don't know what they pay them for in that bloody office.
Are you in a raggy because you stopped smoking, Mam?
Just shut up about them tabs, will you, man? It's hard enough as it is.
Hey, Mam, what's that?
What?
That on the bench. There, look. In love...
In loving memory of Flo Murgatroyd, who loved this park. 1901 to 1979. Sadly missed.
So what's that for, then?
Well, they're like, you know, put there by friends and relatives of them that have died.
What for?
To remember them by. Maybe it helps them, so they don't get so upset.
Mam, is it sad when people die?
Yeah, of course it is. Remember how you cried when Mr. Topsy got run over? Well, it's like that when you lose a person, but even sadder. Whenever Flo What's-Her-Name's family come here and sit on this bench, I suppose they think about her.
But won't they be more sad if they think about her?
But then the happy memories, well, they'll help.
But if you've lost someone, aren't you always going to be sad?
Well, I suppose.
So what's the point in having a bench?
Oh, I don't know, Jack. You're always asking flaming questions, you.
Can we have a bench for Mr. Topsy in the park? One with his name on?
Do you think I made a money lie?
Well... If your lotto number comes up, then.
Mebbies. We'll see.
Oh, you always say that. Mam, can I go back on the swings now? I can get Ryan's brother to push me.
Okay, 5 more minutes. And don't run in front of them. I don't want you all bruised for going back to school. And stay where I can see you!
He's a grand lad. And a bright one. Just needs a stitch in that jumper and a bit of polish on his shoes.
Who the hell are you like?
I'm Florence Murgatroyd, 1901 to 1979. who loved this park, sadly missed. It's my bench you're sitting on.
Oh, I do beg your pardon. How was I to know I was sitting on a talking bench?
Please don't get up. I like people sitting on my bench. It's company for me. And you look like you could do with a rest.
You mean Floor? Are you Floor? I must be hearing things. Maybe some gannon crackers.
That depends on how you look at it, young lady. And it's Florence, actually, not Flo or Florrie.
Whoa, very sorry, I'm sure.
No offence taken, dear, but I decided that at least in death I'm going to have the dignity of my Sunday best name, as christened by my mother and father. It's Nicola, isn't it?
Nicola? Nah, where'd you get that from? They call me Amy.
Funny, I could have sworn. Sorry, dear, you look like someone who used to come here. I'm sure it must be hard work looking after a young one when you're on your own.
How did you know I was on my own, like?
You'll be surprised, Amy. I know quite a lot of things.
Oh, I see.
Yes, you do. You see a lot, I can tell. Your boy Jack, is he a good eater?
Oh, aye. I can't fill him some days. I just don't know where he puts it.
He's probably having a growing spell. Most boys do around his age.
Do you think I haven't noticed? I'm doing my best.
You're a good mother, Amy, and you would have made a good little wife.
Well, it were him that pissed off. He left me with a kid in my belly when I was 15. So that's his bloody loss.
Still, I suppose it's the done thing these days.
What is?
Bringing up a child as one of these single parents. In my day, you couldn't have got away with it. And certainly not at your age.
I mean, you think you know somebody, but when it comes down to it...
5 minutes, 5 years, an eternity. Do you ever really know the person you're next to in life? I mean, everyone called me Flo. I never liked it, but you just don't like to say. I mean, it would have seemed so impolite.
Well, I reckon I would have had something to say, like. Was it your kids put the bench here, then?
No. I've no children of my own to speak of. It was my nephew, Raymond.
Oh, that were real nice of him.
Not that I would have exactly chosen this spot myself.
Why not? Seems canny enough to me.
Oh, don't get me wrong. It's lovely in the daytime. It looks right across to the house where I used to live.
Did you live on Bellevue Road then? In one of those big posh houses that look onto the park?
Well, they're not quite so posh these days. Mostly broken up into student flats now. But when I was a girl before the Great War, we had a servant to do the cooking and the cleaning. And a lovely orchard in the back garden. And borders of lavender. And roses climbing up a trellis on the wall. My sister Letty and I used to play for hours in the attic. We had a doll's house up there.
So what's wrong with having your bench here, like? I bet you've got loads of happy memories.
Oh, yes, yes, I have, my dear. And I do so love to watch the little ones in the play park with their mothers, sometimes their fathers. It's the night time when the older ones come round. You wouldn't believe what they get up to on my bench. Not such a nice spot then, I can tell you. And I really wanted to be up on Memorial Hill, next to my Harry. But it's so popular up there, you need to wait until one of the old benches are all broken and forgotten. It's like waiting to step into dead men's shoes.
But I thought you were dead already. Oh, never mind. Has your Harry got a bench on Memorial Hill, like?
No. He's listed, you see, on the war memorial. It's the only thing I ever had to remember him by. He was killed at Flanders. They never brought his body back.
Oh, I'm right sorry. It must have been awful to lose your husband like that.
Oh, no, he wasn't my husband. That wasn't allowed. My parents were very strict, you see. Harry was a butcher's boy. He used to deliver our meat on his bicycle every Monday and Thursday. And my parents, well, they didn't consider him quite good enough, especially since he came from one of the back-to-back terraces down Humbleside. They were all pulled down, you know, replaced with that awful high-rise.
That's where I live. Still, it was a nice thought, the bench. He must have thought a lot about you, your Raymond.
Oh, yes, and I thought a lot about him, ever since he was born. He was my favourite nephew.
What did he do to deserve that honour?
You look very tired, my dear. Don't you think you should see a doctor?
Mebbies, but I haven't exactly got much time. Too much to do. Jack, time to go home now. Come on, my lad.
Aw, Mum.
See ya.
This seat is dedicated to the memory of Miss Harbuckle, headmistress of Knightsford Junior School, 1956-1988.
You wonder if it's time to move on when you start teaching your former pupils' children. But when it gets to their grandchildren, well, it definitely is time for your carriage clock.
This tree was planted in memory of Charles, gentleman of the road. Died in this park, 18th of October, 1996. Age unknown. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth.
I was 54, actually, and I used to be MD of my own company. Then I started drinking. It was the pressure, see, and I lost everything, including my family. They never knew what happened to me. My little girl, I bet she's all grown up now. You lose track of time.
Dedicated to the memory of Corporal Emily Scott, Royal Corps of Signals, killed in Afghanistan, 2nd of November 2001, aged 23 years.
I suppose I should be angry dying so young, but when you go out there, you know it might happen, even though you try not to think about it. And I packed a lot into my few years. Saw more than most people see in a whole lifetime. I just worry about leaving Mum and Dad.
I don't suppose I could have an ice cream today, Mum.
You suppose, right?
Well, Matthew had one. It's not fair.
I wish they'd stop parking that bloody ice cream van outside school. It shouldn't be allowed.
Is it because Dad didn't send any money again? Is that why he didn't come round to take me out? Do you think he was skint, like last time?
Look, don't you worry about him. I've just spent a load on bus fares today, that's all.
Where did you go, Mum? Mum?
Just up the hospital, that's all.
You're not going to die, are you, Mum?
No, silly. I was just visiting someone.
Is Auntie Karen poorly?
No, it's no one you know. So don't worry about it.
Who is it, Mum?
I said don't worry about it, so shut up, will you? Look, there's Ryan over there. Why don't you go over and join in?
Are you coming over, Mum?
No, I think I'll have a sit down on this bench. I'll watch from here.
Are you going to sit with Flo?
You what?
You know, in living memory of Flo.
Just go and play football, will you? And it's Florence, actually. And stay where I can see you.
Boys, nothing ever changes. You just need to give them a ball and an open space. I used to spend many a happy hour watching Raymond and his brothers on that field. Come and sit down, dear. You look all in. How did you get on?
Sorry?
At the hospital.
But how did you...
How did you get on, dear?
There's nowt to tell, really. They just did some tests, that's all. And a scan. Doctors said not to worry. It was just to exclude things. Make sure there were nothing serious, that's all.
Yes, of course.
And I've given up smoking. There's more bloody patches on my arm than a tramp's trousers.
In my day, you were considered to be a very wild creature if you smoked.
Did you ever have to go into hospital?
Just twice. I had my tonsils out when I was 7. Lots of jelly and ice cream afterwards. Then I was very lucky. Clean bill of health. Until I had a massive stroke at 77.
Not so bloody lucky having a stroke.
No. But I was very fortunate to have my nephew Raymond. He visited every day in the hospital and when I was transferred to a nursing home. Nothing was ever too much trouble for him. He used to feed me, hold the cup up to my lips, sometimes sing to me. He was very musical, you know.
Blimey, doesn't sound like any of the blokes I know. Was there anything this Raymond couldn't do?
He was just like his father.
You mean your sister's husband?
Sister's husband? Oh, yes, yes, that's right. Cyril, my sister Letty's husband.
You never married then?
No, there was never anyone else. Just Harry and memories and...
And Raymond?
Sorry?
Your sister's boy, Raymond. Your favourite nephew.
Yes, Raymond.
Mum, Ryan's got a number 9 shirt. Just like Dad said he's going to buy me.
Ah, oh, that's nice. But I wouldn't hold your breath on that one, pet.
He's a good boy, your Jack.
What? That little tinker?
You're very lucky to have him.
Yeah, yeah. Of course I am. It's just that he can work his ticket sometimes.
They all can, dear. But still, you have to treasure them whilst you can. And I suppose we can all work our tickets at some time or other.
Does he come and see you then, your Raymond? Does he come and sit on your bench?
Well, not anymore. He's quite old himself now, you see. He's in a nursing home, the one on Friars Road. One of the carers, Nicola, used to bring him along in a wheelchair, but now he's become too frail even for that. I don't know. One minute they're scraping their knees on the trees, and the next... Well, the next, diabetes and incontinence. Old age, it has nothing to recommend it.
Well, at least you had a nice life to look back on. A big garden and a big house and a posh mum and dad.
Yes, you're quite right, dear. I was very blessed.
And at least someone thought enough about you to put a bench here in your honour. I know it's not exactly where you want it, but you can't always have everything you want in life. Or death.
When do you go back for your results, dear?
Next Wednesday.
Be brave.
The doctor just said it were to rule something out. Make sure there were nothing serious. He said not to worry.
Of course not.
Mum!
Hey, I'm not standing for that! Give it him back, you bully! Jack, don't just stand there, you great wuss. Smack him one back, will you? Oh, come on, let's go on home and get some tea. You're too bloody soft, you. You're going to have to learn to look after yourself.
Goodbye, dear.
A Seat for Anita Mayfield, 1953 to 1999. Composer and musician, who came to this park for inspiration and spiritual renewal.
It was enough to hear the voices of the children carried on the wind, or the birdsong at twilight. And then there was the sun disappearing over Memorial Hill.
In memory of a loving husband and father, George Hardcastle, a Dunkirk veteran who was stationed here during the war and loved to walk in this park when on leave.
I had to get away from the barracks. It was the frustration, you see. All those men. Homosexuality wasn't allowed in those days. Not like now.
In memory of Mr. Cornett, Ice Cream Man in this park, 1955 to 1987. Always a kind word, and much loved by the young and young at heart.
I wanted to keep it in the family, but my son Neil had other ideas. Wanted to go to university. Oh, well, I suppose things had to move on, even if it meant the end of the Mr. Cornett Empire.
No Jack today, then?
I got my mate to pick him up from school.
Not stopping, then?
I've got to get back before she starts work.
Has she got far to go?
No, she works from home, if you know what I mean.
Oh.
Don't sound so disapproving, your ladyship. Some of us don't have a choice. Not if you want to put shoes on your kids' feet. Are you telling me they didn't have such a profession in your day?
Go on, have a sit down, my dear. You look exhausted.
Just for a minute, mind.
So did you hear anything then? From the hospital?
You know I did. And I suppose you know what they said and all.
I'm sorry, I really am.
Look, the doctor sounds hopeful, right? And if he's hopeful, then that's good enough for me.
Yes, yes, of course. But suppose the treatment... I mean, what if...
No what ifs about it. I'm going to get better. I've got to get better. I mean, if I don't, who the hell's going to look after Jack?
Well, won't his father?
His father? You're bloody joking, aren't you? He pissed off as soon as he knew I was carrying Jack. Now he's got his own little family and no room for his firstborn son, thank you very much. You just have to think positive, that's all. It helps you fight illness. Release of some chemical or other. I read it in a magazine in the doctor's surgery. And the consultant says there's every chance. Well, a 53.8% chance. I'm going to be one of those. I am. Why shouldn't I be?
What about your mother?
God knows where that bitch is.
Oh, don't be too hard on her, my dear.
What, after she pissed off leaving me with me dad?
Sometimes people have to make difficult decisions in life that hurts them greatly.
Not that I ever saw much of him. Bloody useless article. Always down the club till God knows what hour.
Sometimes you have to let go. Not because you want to, but because you believe it can be the only way forward for everyone. Especially those you love.
We never had a thing to eat in the house.
And you have to believe in it until it becomes the truth and there's no way back.
I mean, what sort of mam would abandon her kid?
Far easier to leave things as they are. Not risk all that upset and recrimination and questions that you can't possibly answer.
Well, I would never leave my kid. Never. No matter what.
Haven't you ever tried to find your mother, dear?
Aren't you listening? I said I was going to get better, and I don't care what you see in that bloody crystal ball of yours. And I don't need my mother. She left, but you must know that, so why even bring it up? I don't remember anything about her, and I don't want to. What's it like being dead?
It's all right at first. You're happy to watch those you love and share everything with them. It's when they stop visiting that it gets lonely.
So you don't have any more family then?
No, just Raymond. And he'll be 83 on the 23rd of October at 10:22 a.m. Poor boy. He must be fed up of looking at the same four walls every day. Perhaps you could go and visit him in the nursing home.
But I don't know him. It'll look a bit dodgy, turning up like that.
But I'm sure he'd really appreciate a visit. You could explain to his carer, Nicola, that you're a friend of his aunt's.
But you're dead, and I wasn't even born when you kicked the bucket.
Nicola will understand, I know she will. Raymond is all I've got.
Don't you have other dead people to talk to, then?
Well, there's him on the next bench. Joe Senior, dearly departed. I should think they were glad to see the back of him. Rolls back here in the early hours making a right din. Then he sleeps until the afternoon, complains there's no one to put a meal on the table, and then is back out to haunt the Royal Swan.
Sounds just like my dad. Well, what about the other side then? Dear beloved wife of Jim Blackmore.
Oh, she just likes to keep to herself. Doesn't think this place is good enough for her. Apparently, she wanted to be scattered off the Maldives. Only her husband got remarried rather quickly, an old flame he met at the funeral. So he decided to spend the money on a cruise for the honeymoon. Only her ashes didn't go with them.
I bet she'll give him some earache when he pops his clogs. So you don't go to heaven then, when you die?
Oh, yes, yes. Some go straight away, those that have no one to remember them. They're the lucky ones, I suppose. But those of us who are remembered and have some token or plaque to be remembered by, each gravestone, each memorial, well, that keeps us here. We can never be truly released until these are relinquished. Our memorials grow old and derelict and in need of replacing, and no one left to remember our shape or the imprint our life made on earth. No one to remember our fragrance, or the sound of our laughter, or our light caress.
That's sad, that is.
Yes and no. As in life, you get weary. I've been dead now for over 20 years, and I still haven't completed that journey. I still don't know what's on the other side of the door. My bench is falling to pieces, beyond repair, and soon Raymond will be gone. Then once again, I shall be stepping out into the unknown.
Anyway, I must go on. Got to get Jack.
I rather think you should tell him, prepare him, just in case.
I don't need to.
I do think it would be best, my dear.
Listen up. I don't want to hear this, so just leave it, will you?
Remembering with love, Doreen Garside, cherished wife and mother, who enjoyed happy times in this park with Pamela.
I wonder what will happen to Pamela now, what with Bernard so unsteady on his feet. He'll have to put her in a home. Bernard'll never manage. We spent our life looking after Pamela, never a minute apart. I used to bring her to the park every day. She always tried to play with the other children, even when she was older. They could tell she was different.
This clock is dedicated with thanks to the memory of PC Lucy Jameson, who fell at this spot on the 21st of June 2000 in the line of duty.
All those years of training, then it was over in a moment. I didn't see the knife, you see, not till it was too late. Dying alone, that was the worst part. Still, I do what I can now. Watch out for any troublemakers, spook them if they misbehave. I like to think that in death, I've made this park a safer place.
This tree was planted in memory of Casper, aged 15 years, a loyal pet who enjoyed walking in this park with his family.
But I don't want Auntie Karen to pick me up from school again. I want you.
Oh, Jack, go on, stop playing up, will you?
I don't like her house. It smells funny, and I don't like that strange man who comes to see her.
I'll not be long, honest.
But where are you going?
Just to see someone, that's all.
I want to come with you. I don't want to go to school.
Don't be daft and hurry up or we'll be late.
You'll have to tell him, you know.
And I could do without your interfering gob and all.
What?
Oh, not for you to worry about.
Children can face these things better than you think.
Jack, shift your arse, will you?
Sean keeps asking why you wear that funny scarf around your head. You never take it off. Why, Mam? Why?
It's not fair on the poor boy. He needs to know.
Look, you shut up, will you?
But, Mam...
Jack, I didn't mean you. Look, just stop dragging your feet, will you, and hurry up. We're going to be late.
This seat is donated as a place of rest by the family of Graham Cooper, who grew up here and all his life loved to return.
I've got such happy memories of this place, playing football, having a picnic, down the slide. All the while there's me mum sat on the bench, watching me. Carefree days, they'll never come again.
For Kate, to celebrate a life well lived.
I met David here. Every second Thursday of the month, we'd have lunch in the Clock Tower Cafe, then a walk through the rhododendrons. When no one was about, I held his hand. I loved my husband, but I needed this too, and I knew Richard wouldn't understand.
These swings were erected in memory of our little girl Josephine, who sadly departed this life 25th of June 1998, aged 5. Let the children come unto me.
Now I can stay in the park and I don't need to go home for my tea.
Amy, don't run off, dear. Come and speak to me.
I don't want to talk.
Please, just a little while. There's been so few people pass by with all this rain. It's been such a lonely day.
I've got to get Jack.
I know, I won't keep you long.
2 months, they said. 2 months. That's all I've got.
I'm so sorry, my dear. I really am.
You spend your whole life wasting time. Then suddenly, all you've got left is 2 bloody months. How do I tell him, Florence? I said, how do I tell him?
You will find the right time, my dear, and the right way.
He'll just be passed from one foster carer to the next, and then it'll be some young offenders institution. And I should be here, looking after him, making sure that doesn't happen.
Amy.
Making sure he's a good boy. Making sure he has some chance in life. I wanted it to be different for him. But now...
Amy.
Now what's going to happen to him? He won't understand.
Amy, he will always know that you were his mother and that you loved him. And he's never not known that.
That's not enough. It's not bloody fair. I mean, who's going to look out for him?
There must be someone who can take care of him.
Maybe he'll be adopted. Then someone else will bring him up, not me. Maybe he'll have loads of money, spoil him, make him forget where he came from. Or maybe he'll just end up in a young offenders institution anyway. I only ever wanted to be the best man.
You are.
And I only ever wanted to give him the best.
You did, and you do, every day.
All he'll remember is me shouting at him.
He'll remember the happy times the most.
Never any money for a flaming ice cream.
You gave him the most important thing of all, a mother's love. You were able to do that for him at least, no matter how briefly. And he'll carry it with him always. Pass it on to his own children.
And I won't be here to see them.
Your love will live on through him and them.
Why did I never know my mother's love? Can you tell me that?
She loved you. Don't ever doubt it, my dear.
She left and she never came back.
Not everything in life can be defined as right or wrong. She was your mother. She would never have given you up without great pain.
That's not true. She never wanted to know me as her child. And I don't want to know her as my mom, ever.
There won't have been a day gone by when her heart didn't ache for you.
And just what the hell would you know about that?
I know it's hard, my dear, but be thankful for the time you and Jack have had together.
Thankful? Are you for real or what? No, don't answer that because you're not really here. I'm in the middle of a bad dream. And you're just a voice I don't want to hear.
He's always known you as his mother, and always will.
And that makes it all right, does it? Go to hell!
Please stay. For the love of God, Amy, will you listen to me? There isn't much time.
I know. 2 months. I've got 2 bloody months.
Even less than that.
What?
I've got even less than that.
What do you mean?
I need you to go and see Raymond.
Look, I've told you.
There's something I want you to do.
You're not really there, it's just my imagination.
Something I need you to tell him.
You're just messing with my head. Tell me what I don't want to hear.
It won't take long.
I've got to spend every minute I've got with Jack now.
He needs to know before he dies.
You've never had any kids of your own.
Amy, please.
I wouldn't expect you to understand.
But I do understand, I do.
You can't even imagine what it's like to leave your kids to be brought up with someone else.
But I do know, I do.
No, you don't.
Amy, please listen.
I mean, how the hell can you?
I do know, I do. Because Raymond is my son. I said, Raymond is my son. And before he dies, I need him to know that I am his mother.
This memorial is dedicated to those who gave their lives in the Great War, 1914 to 1918. Private Harry Charlton, Royal Northumberland Fusiliers, aged 17 years.
I loved this park. Used to play my trumpet in the bandstand every Sunday afternoon. Till we got called up proper, that is. Sunday was my only day off from the butcher's shop. My young lady, Florence, she used to come and watch me play. She thought I looked right handsome in my uniform. Me, Private Harry Charlton. Afterwards, We'd have a stroll round the park, sometimes even a swing. Then I'd walk her back to the park gates. Couldn't walk her all the way home, as her parents didn't exactly approve of me. But the day before I left for the front, we stayed out till dark, and she got into terrible trouble with them. But I think we both had a feeling that it might be our last time together. I never did see my Florence again, but we wrote, and she kept a photograph of me hidden in her locket, and I had a photograph of her. I wrapped it up to keep it clean. Didn't want it to spoil in all that mud. I still had it on me when...
Thank you.
You knew, didn't you? But how?
About Nicola. Don't you remember the first time I saw you, I thought that you were Nicola. She used to bring Raymond here in his wheelchair. She has your eyes. I used to listen to her chat to Raymond about her mother. That's your mother too, of course. I think she could sense my presence. That's why I knew she'd understand about you going to visit Raymond.
All this time I had a sister, and I never knew. Someone out there.
She's a lovely girl. I knew that from watching her with Raymond. I'm certain she'd care for Jack as her own. Your mother never abandoned you. She always meant to come back for you. But when she died in childbirth, she was carrying another man's child.
No wonder my father never told me the truth. The swine.
Don't waste your energy on anger, my dear.
I know. There's not enough time for that. He cried to Joe Raymond.
My Raymond. Mine and Harry's little boy.
He cried, but not because he was sad. Told me that deep down he knew. Knew that you were something more than just his aunt. He felt it. That love. That bond. Even when you'd gone. Said he never forgot it. And he never would, till his dying breath.
And neither will your son.
I haven't much time left.
There's time enough.
I don't think that I can do this, Florence.
Yes, you can, my dear.
No, I...
Now is the time.
Jack!
What?
Jack! Jack, just come here a minute, will you?
What is it, ma'am?
Sit down, pet. There's something really important I need to talk to you about.
Is it about you going to hospital a lot?
Yeah. Yeah, that's right. I'm really poorly, Jack.
You're not going to die, are you, ma'am? Ma'am?
Loving memory of Amy Bennett, dies 21st of March 2002, aged 22 years. Loving mom to Jack and sister to Nicola, she spent many happy hours in this park watching her son play. Always remembered. I hope you're still happy here, ma'am. Sorry I haven't been for a while, it's just been so busy settling in at university. I'm really enjoying it, and I'm going to do you proud. I can still picture you sitting here, where Florence's old bench used to be, watching me on the swings, shouting across, making sure I was all right. Sometimes I fancy I can still hear your voice. Auntie Nicola is lovely, but I won't ever forget you. I'll always know you're my real mum. And when I have kids, I'm going to bring them here and sit on your bench and buy them ice cream and watch them play. And I'm going to tell them all about you.
In Benchmark, a radio play written by Rachel Cochran. Amy was performed by Kate Foster. Young Jack by Luke Brown. Florence by Pat Buckle. And Older Jack by Theo Hornsey. For the ghosts, Isabel was performed by Julia Deans. Alf and Mr. Cornet by Ray Moore. Bernard by Alan Scott. Graham by David Hinchcliffe. Miss Harbuckle by Karen Kirkland. Charles was played by Peter Smith. Emily by Diane Hinchcliffe. Anita by Rachel Cochrane. And George by David Walker. Doreen was played by Joy Pusey. Lucy by Anne Watson. Percy by Howard Hayward. Kate by Helen Morris. Josephine by Lara Hinchcliffe. And Harry by Mark Bell. Credits were read by Helen Aitken. The music was composed and played by Rosie Cochrane. Benchmark was directed and produced by Rachel Cochrane, with recording by Joe Patterson at Fuse Media Centre, Prideaux.
Thank you for listening to Benchmark. If you had a bench dedicated to you, what would it say about you? Where would it be and why? These are the questions we are asking in our fundraising Benchmark competition for Willoughburn Hospice. We would love to hear from you. So please visit rachelcochrane.com and log on to Get Writing, then Current Writing Competitions. Thank you.